everybody. This is a two-part episode. Chris, myself, Jason, and Matt watched the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. And it's a four-hour movie, so there was a lot to talk about. So we divvied it up into two sections. So it kind of ends abruptly this episode. So stick around, and next week I will post the second part.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Two Geeks at the Movies. I am your co-host, Chris. And as always, I am joined by my brother and co-host, Rob. Welcome back, Rob.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's been, I don't know, like 10 years since we've done this.
Yeah, it's been a long time. This is our quarterly podcast. Whenever it's... Whenever, if you own a small business and it's time to pay your taxes, that's when you can listen to our podcast. Yeah, it's been a little while, so we're back. We're gonna tonight. We're gonna talk about the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League, and we've assembled our own Justice League for this little event. So joining us tonight are Jason. Hi, Jay.
How you guys doing?
Good. Welcome back. And our old buddy, Matt.
Hey, hey, Matt. Thanks for having me back. This is a cut of cuts.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure either, but that's pretty standard. So,
cut to rule them all.
One cut. Yeah. so Snyder cut came, hit HBO, what, a month or two ago?
I've lost March.
March, so 2 months ago, and I don't know if I could speak for everybody on this. It seems to be the general consensus of the world that this movie was a big improvement over the original cut of Justice League. Would everybody agree to that?
I would agree.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
New Justice is better than old Justice.
So my question, and why don't we start with Matt, based on that, is how did you feel about it, Matt? Did you enjoy it? Like,
I did.
Judging that it's better, did you like it?
I really liked it. The only part I didn't like was it was a little long, but
a little.
I mean, I had to break it up in many, many moons. But I mean, what's his face? Steppenwolf. He looked badass. He looked cooler. Wasn't crying for his mama. Just the mother references alone. Just mother. Oh, mother. Just, it was.
I should have started with Matt.
Get ready for a 4-hour cut of Matt Johnson here. Here we go.
How about Jason?
Yeah, go.
Jay, did you enjoy it?
Very much so.
Okay.
So I think it was. I don't remember. I didn't remember the original Whedon cut that well, but I remember parts of it I didn't like, and I've watched the Snyder cut twice actually. I watched it when it first came out, and I had to divide that up and watch it in as almost as two movies. But today I actually rewatched the entire Snyder cut all the way through, and it aside from some very, very small nitpicky things, I think it's a solid movie. I think it's very good and holds up, and I would actually put it on par with some of the better Marvel movies. I thought it was a very, very good movie.
Okay. We'll slow your roll there.
Now,
yeah.
My one disappointment, though, is I was actually working on my own movie called The Snyder Cut about a no-nonsense moyle named Moisha Snyder that plays by plays by his own rules. And I gotta rework the title for that.
Rob, how did you feel about this? Did you enjoy it? Did you think it was good, bad? Jason's always kind of been our Zack Snyder apologist around here, so I'm not surprised to hear that from you. But I know you have, Rob, you have a lot of issues with Snyder. What do you think?
Before I get into that, I want to point out that Jason is a frequent guest, and as a guest, he has prepared and typically does so much more than I ever do as a co-host of this show. The fact that you watched it twice and one time all the way through is incredible. So I commend you for that. I agree with what you said earlier, Chris, that, and we should maybe give a little background here in a sec as to the kind of the history of Justice League, not
sure.
the comics, but the movie, and the two different cuts and how they came to be. But I did like this one better. I will never watch this movie again in my entire life. It still has so much of the Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, just like cold gray aesthetic and just... just nonsense. But it, even though the Whedon cut is notorious for Warner Brothers kind of pushing to have a lighter version of Justice League in this universe, I thought this one at least had attempts at humor and lightness that I didn't see in those other two movies that I mentioned. And there were moments in the movie, including horses being thrown through the air, that I was happy to see. And I was like, okay, I like this. But as a whole, I think it's still a very problematic movie with so many issues and so many things that made me angry.
Yeah.
So
all the things I have problems with are minor. And I think people are more down on Batman v Superman than I am too. I thought that was a better movie. People give it credit for. Certainly had its problems, but I think that movie, along with the Snyder cut, you know, they complement it very well. It tells a very good story. I thought this movie, the way just Zack Snyder did it, especially watching it today, 4 hours straight, it makes sense, whereas the original cut didn't. It tells a coherent story, which everyone's talked about. It transitions from scene to scene and captures a sort of a, I don't want to compare it to Infinity War, but it almost reminds me of Infinity War a little bit, where you're telling all these stories or a vast, you know, geography and different characters and telling big stories and giving backstory. And I thought they transitioned from one to another very, very well. And it made a lot of sense. And it flowed.
It's funny that you say that. And I think I did enjoy it better. The flow of it is actually difficult for me. I think you're right that it tells the story much, much better. But if I had to, if I was doing an interview with this and had to, you know, basically said, if you could describe it in one word, my word would be shapeless, because it just seemed like it just meandered from thing to thing. And they're just, I felt that the flow of it was very clunky, which I guess you would get with a 4 hour movie where essentially he didn't have to cut anything that he didn't want to. So there was no sort of hesitant, or there wasn't like a, there was no sense that they had to trim anything down to make it flow better. And so I thought that there were times that even, like, if you look at the original Justice League, and again, I don't remember it all quite as well, but a good example that I saw pointed out was the scene where the Wonder Woman's people are alerting her that there's a problem coming. It happens quickly. They shoot the flaming arrow. It lights a torch, and then Wonder Woman sees what's going on, and that's sort of it. And in this, they say a little prayer before they shoot the arrow, and a bunch of different torches light up, and then Wonder Woman does this long meandering walk, like climb down through the...
Yeah, so I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, but I mean, just my point is that there's so much extra added to it that doesn't, like, I didn't feel like certain things like that added very much to it. And it just made it sort of clunky in ways that it didn't need to be.
Yeah. On the whole, what I'm saying is the story as a whole, I think, makes a lot of sense. transitions from one sort of part to the next part work very well. Where I will agree with you, and one of my what I think is more of a nitpick, is this movie could have been trimmed down to about 3 hours and 30 minutes, say, something like that, because there are three or four examples of where scenes just go on for way too long. Yeah. They drag things out for way too long. One of them is I had a
don't say hot dog. Don't say the hot dog.
No, one of them's with the flash at the end when he's doing his running scene. It takes too long. There's just a few scenes where it just lasts a few minutes, you know, and you're just like, we get the point. Move on to the next thing.
Now. Right.
And
right.
Oh, I'll give you another example of one of them. One of them was the when Cyborg was watching the woman who was down on her luck, and he was going to increase her bank account. That like went on and on and on. There's certain things like that where it's just like, okay, cut it by a few minutes. And if you cut each of these by a few minutes, it would be, you get the exact same story, the exact same effect. But I'd be able to watch this movie in 3 hours and 30 minutes before.
Plus, if you took out even like 25% of the slow motion, this movie would be about an hour and a half long.
I'm in on a nitpicky level where they just needed to trim some of these scenes down just a tad. And they were more like action sequences. For example, the Amazon scene where Steppenwolf is chasing the Amazonians and chasing the box, that goes on for too long.
Yeah.
That could have been trimmed down by about half, and you would have been told the same exact story, gotten the same exact effects and everything. And my only other nitpicky thing that I can think of off the top of my head is some of the music. Some music was like jarringly bad in certain scenes. I don't know if you remember some of it, but it almost reminded me of kind of like the Leonard Cohen scene in Watchmen.
Okay.
You know, where some of the music actually took you out of the movie.
Okay.
Because it was so campy and it was just a little too ridiculous.
Yeah, a little too on the nose.
And it was that was a Zack Snyder movie. This movie did have a very Watchmen type feel to it in certain parts too, I noticed today. So, all right. Yammering on.
Yeah, the music, there was one moment that caught me as funny. Is there so, Rob and Matt will remember, I complain a lot about the slamming guitar song. Yeah, which I just hate. I hate it so much.
Yeah, I thought we were overly dramatic, almost operatic type movie music where it was like, it was like operatic music, but it was like a guy singing English. It was just weird to me. I'm sure there are songs that people know about, but there's a
moment where there's more of kind of the junky XL soundtrack where it's just that slamming guitar music in which the entire Justice League is slowly walking up a long staircase and we're just getting this guitar. And I'm like, what is that necessary in this moment?
It's like from Fury Road with the guy.
Yeah, exactly. the Doof Warrior.
So let's kind of talk about the history. Let's say we're going to be getting into spoilers. I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, you either don't care whether things are going to get spoiled or you've watched this thing. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anybody casually like, oh, listen to this stupid podcast about this movie.
Is it already off HBO now?
No, I think it's still
off
there.
HBO.
Is that where
Wait, Jason just watched it. I thought you maybe purchased the limited diamond edition. Diamond Snyder.
But that's a good question, because I know HBO's doing that a lot now with these new release things where they're only on about 30 days. So,
exclusive maybe this one at least, but it so the original Zack Snyder, from what I understand, he had sort of a trilogy in mind with, I don't know if it was like Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, and then this, or if he had kind of one more. He obviously
I
had
think he had
plans after
plans.
This
yeah
I think he had future plans
But he was working on Justice League which came out in 2017.
Okay.
And Warner Brothers wanted something lighter because there was so much criticism of Man of Steel and Batman v Superman that they were pushing for that. And I think he went back and rewrote it and was working towards that. But then tragically, his daughter committed suicide. And I think between that horrible tragedy and Warner Brothers trying to get him to change things, that he kind of stepped away and Joss Whedon came on. Is that correct? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, when it was originally happened, I think they pitched it as he was, not that they were trying to force him out anyway, but just that he stepped aside because of his family tragedy. And so they brought Joss Whedon in to clean it up. But I think in years since, it's been revealed that they were trying to get rid of him anyway. And I think that just became the excuse to get rid of him.
It's become very weird, the whole situation. I've got all sorts of different aspects to this where after Snyder put out his thing, he wanted to promote it. It sounds like Warner's didn't want to promote it at all. And was like upset at him for going out and doing interviews and things like that. And then since even worse, all this stuff Whedon has come out, you know, of people that have worked with him and his, everyone from actors in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, to even this movie, Justice League, came out and slamming him being abusive and,
Well, Ray Fisher, who plays Cyborg, obviously in the Whedon cut was almost non-existent. I mean, it's amazing and they said that he was one of the first people to speak out and say he was mistreated, things didn't go well between he and Whedon. And this movie, he's practically the main character.
Yeah, I will say, after again, I thought Justice League for the most part was hot garbage when it came out, but when he came out, what was it, Ray Fisher was his name?
Yeah.
He came out and was bitching and complaining. To me, I was like, okay, this is just an actor who's bitching and complaining because some of him's got cut or whatever. And I thought his character was useless in the Justice League, didn't make any sense. And same deal with the Flash. I thought he was useless, and his character did a bunch of weird stuff in the Whedon cut where all he was ever doing was like shuttle people. And doing stupid stuff like that, and he had some silly scenes and wasn't much of a character. But yeah, after you watched Snyder cut, you're like, oh, I understand exactly why Rafer was so upset now.
Right.
I mean, it's not just he had a few scenes, but he was almost the linchpin of the movie.
Yeah.
In many ways, and his story was so good in the movie. And I thought he did well. And I would be upset too, I guess.
Yeah. I still found him, and I don't know if it was just the way the character was written or the performance, I found him to be very boring. Like, I liked that he had there was more to him in this. I liked that there was more of a heart to his story. But I did find him to be, just as an actor, maybe just really, really boring. Am I the only one?
No, I think he's quite uncharismatic. One of my issues with this version is that he is in it so much more. I find him as an actor boring. I feel bad that he apparently had such a contentious, maybe abusive relationship with Joss Whedon when he was working on it, but I find him boring. His story with playing football and like we did not need a slow motion high school football game,
that was
college football game or whatever. I don't like the look of the character. I don't like the fact that he can apparently do anything with the internet and electronics and security and stuff. He was like Ultron, but never used it. Other than to give some lady at the ATM some extra money. I and that's obviously other people have different thoughts on that, but I did not like him as a character. I didn't like him as an actor, and I was kind of bummed that he was in it more. But part of it is
Matt,
so humorless. I understand that that's part of his story, and that he has kind of a darker backstory. Mm-hmm. But the other four main characters, Wonder Woman, Batman, The Flash, and Aquaman, at least have some humor to them and some life. And I think the actors are fairly good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, he stuck out kind of like a sore thumb.
Hey, Matt, what about your favorite guy, Aquaman?
My man!
I will say I was very happy that that was still in the movie.
I would have sworn that that was a Whedon leftover, so I was surprised that that line was still in there.
My man. He was all right.
Yeah. Acting's fine, but I didn't care for Aquaman's like storyline all much.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what was going on with him and the Atlanteans. I didn't really care too much about that, but
don't worry, there's a whole movie for that.
That's the thing is they were kind of like teasing, you know,
right?
Get ready, Aquaman movie.
And
apparently
some
people like
it. He had one of the worst tacked on moments, which is when he was diving back into the ocean and that group of women came out and serenaded him. And then the one, he like pulls off his sweater and throws it on the ground, which how many sweaters is this guy going?
Yeah,
and that sweater. Lady picks it up and smells it. It's like, God, that's gross.
Yeah. It smells like fish.
Also had to shoehorn in like when the Justice League is in the tunnel and they're like, okay, we got to figure out a way to get some water in here so Aquaman can do something.
And that was a great, just again, nitpicky questions. What was he doing? Was he just hanging out outside the tunnel in hopes that they would blow a hole in the wall? Because he was right there.
You know what it's like, Chris? It's like Tony Wonder from Arrested Development.
Yes. Boy, I wonder where he is.
Wait in the dumbwaiter.
Did somebody say wonder?
That's amazing.
I've been waiting there for 20 minutes.
Oh, man. There were a lot of, I mean, just watching this, there's so many little things like that. Like, the one that was killing me is, it might be that same scene, or maybe it's towards the end, but there's one where they're all fighting Steppenwolf, and Wonder Woman's sword falls, and she jumps down this huge area to go, like, catch the sword. And the Flash it's a very visually cool scene, but Flash is running around, like, he's doing other things as he gets to the bottom of this chamber they're in, and he taps the sword to go back up into her hand. Yeah. She catches it, immediately hits the ground, and then jumps back up to go fight again. And my thought was, everything Flash just did, if the sword just fell to the ground, she would have landed right in the same spot, picked the sword up, jumped back up, and did this exact same thing. So everything the Flash just did to knock the sword back into her hand was useless. There was absolutely no point to it.
And who would win the battle? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I like this question.
Who's going to win the battle? Quicksilver or Flash?
I don't know.
Which Quicksilver? Oh,
both tag team.
I think it all comes down to whether you like Marvel or DC better.
I do enjoy
or how you feel
Flash
about
has
shoes.
Yeah, because Quicksilver seems to just run fast. Now maybe there's more to him in the comics, but I like that there's different aspects to the Flash, the time travel, and there seems to be again, I don't know the character that well, but they seem to flesh him out with a lot of different aspects to what he can do. But
he was so much better in this version of the movie.
Yeah.
Than And then the last one, he was the whole, and that ties into a little bit of the Whedon sort of creepiness, is because I think a lot of the scenes, there was some weird stuff that I think Whedon has a reputation for throwing into some of his movies sometimes. The example I think I'm getting right is there's a scene in the original Whedon version where, like, for no reason at all, Flash lands on top of
Wonder Woman. Yeah.
It's like this weird, creepy sexualization that seems like shoehorned in there. And so a lot of that stupid stuff got tossed aside. Yeah. And
so for the hot dogs.
For the better for whatever.
The hot dogs, yeah. The something else. I mean, it was a nice introduction to Flash, and obviously better than him just showing up in the Whedon cut. But it was interesting. Ezra Miller is an odd duck. I think he's had some issues with women in personal life, and I mean, again, we talk about Whedon and all the other issues that are going on here, and I think he's an interesting one, that especially with the way things are going in Hollywood, that they seem to be sticking with him, because I keep hearing about how they're doing a Flash solo movie with him, but I think he's increasingly becoming sort of problematic character.
Very toxic.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Trying to think what else. I'm trying to think, like, there are so many things to talk about this movie. One of them was definitely just the Steppenwolf, how I, and Darkseid, and just being,
yes,
there's a little more to Steppenwolf's reason why. I mean, he's, his goal of getting these, for, I mean, I can talk on forever. Why in the hell they call them mother boxes? Is it because of the comics?
Yeah,
I just changed it to something.
I don't know. To you and our viewers, our listeners out there, just some friendly bit of advice. Be careful when you go to Google and type in mother box.
To the internet.
Or at least make sure your VPN is connected.
I
believe the mother box is an item from the comics, but then they added this whole other aspect, not exactly a MacGuffin, but the the equation they were looking for?
Anti-life equation.
Yes. That.
Yeah.
Again,
that one, what was that?
It's from the comics, I think, but again, I didn't have time to go down the rabbit hole with that one, and
there
I looked it up a little bit,
and there was so much stuff. There was the mother boxes, and if you get them together it creates a unity, and then the anti-life equation. There was something about terraforming. Everybody's Zod's trying to terraform. Everybody's trying to terraform Earth.
Terraform's a big deal right now. I mean, it's, if you look at Google, it's trending right now hard.
Well, from my understanding of this,
Twitter right now, it's trending. Yeah. And
I might be screwing this up, but essentially, it just seems like, okay, they want to conquer Earth, and like the mother boxes are almost just like a shortcut to doing that. Okay. You know, it's just going to make it easier for them. The anti-life equation, though, is something more important.
Right.
It's bigger. Because it really, the mother boxes and even kind of Earth are kind of a second thought to Darkseid a little bit. He doesn't get, you know, all excited until he hears about the anti-life equation. And then at the end of the movie, even after they sort of deactivate the mother boxes, Darkseid makes a comment about how, you know, basically gather the armada. We're going to do this the old fashioned way. He's still interested in that anti-life equation. He talks about that, but he basically just, says, you know, okay, the mother boxes were going to be the easy way to do this. We'll just do it the old fashioned way. Right. And I'll go comment.
Was the anti-life equation that thing that was like carved into the ground?
It was someone doing yard work in their backyard.
It was
It's a crop circle.
Gibson's cornfield.
Yeah. I mean, just dig a little bit. Boom. You just fucked it up. Like, oh, nice try now.
Steppenwolf gets a vision of, and supposedly Earth just coincidentally happens to be the place where this equation is carved into the
lucky Earth.
Because they all seem to forget, like, that this was the one planet, Earth was the one place where he had been defeated. And in that extended battle scene with everybody, and but they seem to forget that completely because they go away and then they're like, "Oh, where did we leave that mother box? God damn it, where was that?"
First of all, it has been, I think they've said 5,000 years or something, or something ridiculous, right?
And sure,
I don't even remember now. No. But
they could write it down.
No, they could write it down, but they even say he's conquered 100,000 worlds or whatever since that. So, and that might be the way he said, and to be honest with you, that might be the reason, and I'm speculating now, but it might be the reason why he had Steppenwolf go through the process of getting the boxes and things like that is because he's like, you know, we should probably try and do it this way because Earth has been problematic in the past.
Yeah. Those damn Amazonians, meow.
What cracked me up with the mother boxes is after that scene that, so we had the Amazonians and the Atlanteans and the humans, I guess, or men, I forget what they called them. And they each took one of the mother boxes to hide them away. And the Atlanteans and the Amazonians both had these like elaborate structures where they were protecting them and they had rotating things. And then the humans just like dug a hole and threw it in. Like, you lazy asses.
Oh, fine, this one.
That whole thing reminded me of Lord of the Rings. Like, oh, it was big, big way.
Yeah, it was like that opening battle. Yeah.
And again, the humans in Lord of the Rings were kind of the just more
dumb.
Fucked it up. Yeah.
I love it when Steppenwolf was like, "You're not going to believe this."
But Matt
just found the fucking equation.
Matt made a point of the as far as like Steppenwolf and things like that. The special effects in this were, and the visual effects were so much better. Like, Steppenwolf was pretty awesome to look at in this. I thought he was pretty cool. If you, especially if you compare him to the original one, it was awful.
He looked way better in this. He still looked a little bit too much like a Transformer. A little too busy in the way that some of the Transformers are in the Michael Bay movie, but it was, again, much like this movie in general, it was a huge step up from.
Yeah, I liked the way his armor kind of moved those independent pieces and stuff. But and then in the original one, you had some silly stuff like reshoot stuff where it's like that scene where Henry Cavill is. He had clearly had a mustache and they like digitally removed it out in the reshoot and stuff. I mean, it was painful to look at and so bad.
How about the scene? There was that interesting scene in the middle of it with Lois Lane and Martha Kent having their conversation. And again, I remember sitting watching it thinking, this is actually a really nicely written scene, and the emotion rings true, and it's all good. And then Martha walks out and transforms into Martian Manhunter, and you're just like, that, I mean, just negated all of the emotion and everything, as though Lois and Martha were never going to see each other again. Like, when Lois saw her again, wouldn't she be like, "Oh, thanks for coming to visit me at my apartment"? She's like, "Oh, that wasn't me." You know?
Yeah, I agree that. That was a mistake. They should have cut that out.
Yeah.
You know, I could have used a different scene to kind of subtly introduce Martian Manhunter. Because I know that they wanted to kind of subtly introduce him there just so they could pay it off at the end scene with Bruce Wayne. But yes, they should have done it a different way.
I felt even that end scene was very clunky, but I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they still could have done that scene the way they did it and not even had that thing in the middle where he was disguised as Martha.
How long has Martian Manhunter, was he that form when in Superman versus Batman? What do you want to call it? Batman?
That same actor was in Man of Steel. He played
the general.
General, yeah. And I think from what I read, Snyder decided after the fact that he just really liked that actor and thought he would do a good job as Martian Manhunter. So
he wasn't pretending to be the general back.
I don't know if that was not implied in Man of Steel, as far as I remember.
Does that same actor actually play Martian Manhunter?
It's the same actor. Yeah.
As the Martian Manhunter.
Because when it's Martha, it changes into that guy, then to Martian Manhunter.
Right. I think they could have. I agree. They don't necessarily have needed something, but if they wanted to do something, they could have done it more subtle in a different way.
And apparently left
that scene alone.
They also considered at that end scene, it was going to be a Green Lantern. I think I forget which version of him, but it was going to be Green Lantern. So that even Ben Affleck's part in that was sort of a general, I mean, it could have gone with talking to Green Lantern. I don't know. It's just sort of a weird scene.
I like seeing Green Lantern in that battle. That was cool.
Oh, that was cool.
The ring flies up.
So it's been a little while since I've seen it, but Martha leaves the room and she turns into the other guy before Martian Manhunter.
She turns into
Martian Manhunter first.
And then he turns into
the general.
Okay.
And then after he turns into the general, he makes the comment that you know, the world still needs you too, Lois. And then he walks away as the general.
Perv.
That makes more sense, because the other way that you had mentioned it, I was like, was it just sort of a whoops? He was like, all right, I'm going to turn.
You're right. That makes much
sense. It's a two-step process. He can't go from one to the other.
Yeah.
It's two forms.
The more people he has to sequentially go through all of them. I want to jump back to Steppenwolf real quick.
Okay. Magic Carpet Ride? Go.
Yeah.
He seems to be doing Darkseid's bidding. And correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like he's doing it because he betrayed Darkseid, and Darkseid is like punishing him, and this is what he has to do to get back in his good graces. But we never see how he...
They subtly hint at the fact that, and I can't remember the line exactly, but they subtly hint at the fact that Steppenwolf basically tried to, overthrow him or betray him.
Oh, okay.
Maybe followed somebody else or something like that. But I can't remember the exact wording, but they made that line. And then the other guy basically talks to him that he has a debt to pay, and that he owes... He owes Darkseid 50,000 worlds.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he's got to pay his debt, basically.
It just...
Deal.
in a four-hour movie, especially a movie where everyone made a big deal about, like, oh, Darkseid's in this. Darkseid, uh-huh. Even though he didn't really do anything.
Yeah, his ass beat.
They did his laser eyes in one scene.
Cut out,
he did. That was cool.
They could have cut out a bunch of stuff, like Martian Manhunter being Martha, and given us some sort of background as opposed to just like one or two lines as to why he's doing this.
I know it was people said it was at least better that, because in the Whedon cut, Steppenwolf's only motivation is I'm an evil guy.
Yep.
There was really nothing more to it. So they added, like, the addition of this as him making up for his failings to Darkseid was at least something. But you're right. I mean, in 4 hours, they could have found a little room for something with him. But
give me a 5-minute scene, anything.
Yeah.
All right, I'm jumping around.
That's all right.
And this just popped in my mind. But it was in the original Whedon cut where Bruce Wayne shows up at the Flash's apartment. Barry Allen.
Yeah, that was a fun scene.
And I do like that scene, mm-hmm. But I still have this thought where he whips out the batarang and throws it at him.
Yeah.
What if he was wrong and that wasn't really the Flash?
I'll give you an
his head.
Sneak out the door.
He knew. Here's the thing: in that scene, Bruce Wayne says, "You know, I know who you are. I know you have powers. Yeah. I don't know exactly what the powers are." So that's the part where I agree with you a little bit, because he's like, "I don't really exactly know what your powers are."
Yeah,
but I'm.
Can you catch Chinese stars?
Yeah, what if he's got a batarang sticking out of his forehead? He's like, "I can turn invisible." No.
I catch hot dogs at a fast rate.
Anyway, that was it. That's always sort of bothered me. But I do like that scene, and it's one of the
now what I will say is I wasn't measuring the trajectory of the thing. He might have thrown it in his general direction. Again, I don't know if
I think he was going for the kill.
He might have had enough control where he was just gonna, you know, whiz him, you know, like get it close. But,
yeah.
Oh man.
Hope you're not the one. See ya.